I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Bruce Weatherby. He's former president of the Northern New Mexico Central Labor Council, and he's currently consultant to the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees, District 1199, here in Northern New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
So the occasion of our conversation today is legislation that is being introduced in the New Mexico legislature. There is a lot of background to that that has to do basically with safe staffing and what it takes to give good patient care in a hospital setting. You were here, I guess, was it last year? It was a little over a year ago, maybe it was in 2013, when there was a complaint filed with the Department of Health from employees of St. Vincent's Hospital. What happened?
Well, this stemmed from information that employees had gathered regarding understaffing at the hospital and their concern that it was not safe for patients and not safe for the people who worked there. And so in June of 2013, Fonda Osborne, who was at that time the president of District 1199, filed a complaint on behalf of the employees with the New Mexico Department of Health, the hospital division. The hospital division did send a letter back saying that they felt that there was substance to our concerns based upon what was submitted to them in the complaint, and said that they would do an investigation. We had asked for two things. One was a survey of the hospital, which basically means they will take a given moment in time, walk into the hospital, and observe it for 3 or 4 days, which they did. And, of course, by the time they got there, the hospital knew that they would be coming, and the day that they arrived, I believe, in the late afternoon, around the June 9th or something like that, July 9th. And the hospital was magically overstaffed for the next 3 or 4 days.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, we put out a leaflet at the time to all the employees and said, if the hospital will agree to staff at these levels, we will be happy to withdraw our complaints and let's get on with providing great patient care.
So they were basically putting on a show, with the way sometimes happens when there are factory inspections or something like that.
That's definitely what our opinion is of the situation. And so the genesis of all of that really came out of going back even 2 years before that to 2011, when the nurses and technicians were negotiating a contract in which the hospital decided it wanted to set up a staffing committee and do away with the old grid that required there be a certain number of nurses for a certain number of patients. They said they wanted to be more nimble. We were very suspicious of their motivation. We felt that given what's been said by these large corporations, which whether they're not-for-profit, they're a not-for-profit operation or a private corporation for profit, they are nonetheless a corporate structure, and they tend to make decisions behind closed doors and not involve people. And the trend nationally has been to buy into the mantra of do more with less. And you don't get good health care when you do that. It just goes against the grain of what good health care practice is. And nonetheless, they're trying to push that. And they're telling everybody across the country, not just here in Northern New Mexico, but across the country, just get used to it. And our folks are saying no, and they're saying no elsewhere, in California, in there's just a report in the last couple of days of a hospital in the Poconos in Pennsylvania that the nurses are going to go on strike or may go on strike. It's not about getting more money. It's about making sure they have enough people.
What does it actually look like on the floor, so to speak, on the hospital floor when a hospital is understaffed?
Well, it's very difficult. I'm not a nurse, but I've met with them hours upon hours for the last several years. They run around for 12 hours. They get less than, 5 minutes with a patient every hour, which is not a good thing. Sometimes, in the area of staffing, sometimes it's not so much you need more nurses. You may need more nursing assistants, so the nurse actually has more time to spend with the patient. A nursing assistant, many nursing assistants are licensed to to take the vital signs besides, you know, bathing a patient, besides taking care of, making sure that they're comfortable. There are things that they provide enormous help to a nurse. And so when you don't have enough nursing assistants and then you don't have enough nurses, you have people who are running around and not being able to function the way they're... And they're concerned about their license because nurses, unlike anybody else in the medical profession, including doctors, are their license requires them to be the patient's advocate.
Right.
And that is, they take it seriously, and they're putting up a fight for it. And each year, this year we filed, Representative Christine Trujillo has filed House Bill 81 called the Patient Safety Act, and it basically sets up some committees that have real nurse and technician participation in the development of a staffing plan for each hospital. Each hospital is different, and these are people who are used to working as a team. They save people's lives by working as a group together, and they should be allowed to make the decisions about what they need to work with.
So following up on what happened in 2013, there was this survey, the hospital added staff so they'd look good. The second the survey team went away from the health department, they took that staff away. You were back to square one. What happened to the complaint that had been made to the health department about staffing levels?
Well, the hospital claimed that the Department of Health found nothing wrong. They actually did issue a report that identified a few things, and I can't remember exactly what they were. But in our opinion, they never really did the investigation that we requested. It should have taken a considerable amount of time to do the investigation. We had hundreds of pages of documentation of problems with staffing on with dates and the like. And we just felt the administration was not interested in challenging the hospital. And fortunately for them, they seem to have a very cozy relationship with the hospital association in the state, with the administration, is not interested in changing anything and providing anybody an opportunity to look at how they operate. And we're just going to have to slog through another 4 years of battling over that. And it will probably end up in the court at some point, trying to force the Department of Health to do the types of investigations they should be doing in hospitals. Now, hospitals in the state are, we get into the whole issue of is there sufficient funding for hospitals? And hospitals are fighting with each other over the money that the state has. And the legislature, quite frankly, needs to put this as a priority and stop being miserly about what's available for these hospitals to operate. That's one whole battle, and we will advocate for more support for our hospitals. We, you know, just because it's hospital management doesn't mean that we are against them on everything. We do think we need to work as a team there, but that shouldn't be, their lack of money should not be an excuse for, or their claim of lack of money should not be an excuse for staffing the hospital properly.
What does this look like in other parts of New Mexico?
Well, in 2013, about 2 months after the complaint was filed with the Department of Health, up at Holy Cross Hospital in Taos, we also represent hospital workers there, District 1199 does. And I was asked to go up because there was a sense that that hospital is having financial difficulty. The employees sensed it. They wanted to get involved and present a plan to the hospital board of directors to try to get them all out of the woods and work collectively on it. So in August, I think it was August 28th, I remember, in 2013, there was a board meeting of the Holy Cross Hospital board of directors, and our folks showed up and made a presentation. Fonda helped in the presentation. And the board basically said, thank you for your thoughts. We're going to have to go into executive session. We've got a big hole in our boat, and we've got to figure out how to fix it, and we're going to close the doors and deal with it. 2 weeks later, their solution was to lay off approximately 10% of the workforce, to close the three of the five ICU beds, make some other pretty drastic changes.
Close three out of five ICU beds, intensive
yes.
care unit.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
And which meant they now had to fly patients to either Christus here in Santa Fe or UNMH. And for the last, you know, for a year, we've, you know, people comment about how many Metaflights they see leaving Taos during the week. Well, what happened was after that is the county commissioners, the town council, and the town's mayor were outraged at how this just all popped up. And our folks with our hospital workers got together and asked them to hold a meeting, a community meeting, which they did. It was an intergovernmental meeting. The hospital made a presentation. We asked the hospital, we challenged them on what they were claiming to be the case. They said, oh, well, we just had to do this and we'll be all right now. But it seemed like we were still going further and further in a downward spiral. And we asked the town and the county to set up a community study committee. It's called the Taos Hospital and Health Study Committee. It's been working now for, going into 15 months, and it involves hospital board members, actual members of the Board of County Commissioners, members of the town council, the mayor, the hospital workers have two seats at the table, doctors have seats at the table, and most importantly, consumers have seats at the table. And sometimes the meetings are a little dicey. You know, they sit around the hospital, to their credit, open their boardroom and allow. We have meetings of like 30 and 40 people showing up every month, in which they actually discuss what the hospital needs. The hospital's opened its books, and it took a while over the last. It took 14 months to get there, but they're planning together, and it's. This is the kind of model that we think needs to happen across the state.
We're talking to Bruce Weatherby about hospitals and safe staffing in New Mexico. The model that you're talking about right now is very interesting because, I mean, officially, this is a nonprofit corporation which is private, but its mission is fundamentally public. And so to have community input into that is kind of part of our role in a democracy for something that affects the fundamental well-being of our citizens, really, which is their health.
Absolutely. If we obviously have identified education as a primary responsibility of government to make sure that we have an educated population.
Right, but public schools are public and hospitals tend to be private, and that's where it gets hairy.
Well, it is. And one of the things, what's interesting, if you look at the New Mexico statutes on hospitals, you'll find that the county commissioners actually have a lot of latitude. It's almost like they have a menu. They could put together any number of ways to create a hospital. It's ultimately their responsibility to make sure that a community has a hospital. They can either have a situation like in Los Alamos where it's totally private, but they still receive funds from the public. What used to be the sole community provider funds, that's now a safety net pool. There are some just pure county hospitals, and there are some hybrids like in Taos County, where the county actually owns the building and is allowed to build the building, and then they lease it out to somebody. The key ingredient for good policy will be, just like you said, that it's more democratized in a sense of participation in decision making. One of the things we've learned from here at Christus and up in Holy Cross and just about everywhere is there needs to be more transparency. There needs to be, at the very minimal, hospital boards should conduct all of their meetings in public. Anybody should be allowed to go into these meetings. I don't care whether they're a private corporation or not, they're taking public money. And if you really think about it, it's not just the Medicaid or Medicare money. It's also people's insurance. It comes from the public. It's coming. It's not a choice that people have. This is something that has to be provided to them. And so they're not like every other corporation.
Right.
Even if they're not for-profit, they need to have that transparency. That's one of our bills, by the way, is to open up their board meetings and to make their records, other than those protected by HIPAA, which is to protect patient privacy, to have their records public so that the public can understand how money's being spent in these hospitals.
So let's talk about the bills that are being introduced in the current legislative session.
Well, the first in, to us, the most important one is the one that's been filed the last couple of sessions, which is in this year's House Bill 81, filed by Christine Trujillo on this Patient Safety Act, which has to do with the staffing. There are other bills. There's an act which does not have a bill number yet, but it will deal with transparency of board meetings. There's another one that deals with, that one also incorporates being subject to the type of IPRA laws that we have here as far as records go, so that the public can see what's happening, particularly in the financials. There are some other things. One that we would like to see is a model similar to what started in Taos, is now happening in Santa Fe. The Santa Fe City Council stepped up and decided it would do something similar, and it's happened in Taos. And in the next month, Mayor Gonzalez is supposed to appoint the people who will sit on that committee here in Santa Fe. So we'll have a hospital study committee. It's hospital and healthcare study committee. We're looking, despite our being critical of Christus, we are looking for a good dialogue with everybody there. We think this is a good forum. And like I said, they can be dicey at times, but if people can remember that in the end we all got to figure it out, I think it will work well. And interestingly enough, we've had inquiries from the folks in San Miguel County. A couple of the county commissioners have asked for the language that locally set up the Santa Fe Study Committee and the Taos Study Committee, and they've asked for some help. They think they would like to do the same thing for Alta Vista Hospital there. We think this is a good model that should be something that the state endorses and bodies in law and says, we want these to set up, particularly in areas where there is no competition amongst hospitals. Like if you go into Albuquerque, you've got several options. But if here, we've got one place to go, basically. And if that's the case, then the public should have much more of a say, and part of that can be in these advisory roles.
So, hang on, we're talking about a study committee, but, I mean, does that study committee have authority? I mean, will they somebody do what you say?
Well, eventually we hope that to be the case. I think the first thing is to get the door opened and see what's going on. Both the Santa Fe model and the Taos model require all of our meetings to be open. The media sits in on them. That was an issue initially in Taos. People said, well, people won't feel comfortable talking. Guess what? After the first meeting, everybody got over it. They forgot the reporters were sitting there. They just opened up and said what was on their mind. This is a democracy. People got to get over this worried about what they're going to say and the gotcha moment, people say things they might not mean exactly the way it comes out sometimes. Get over it and let's get to the business.
Yeah.
So the authority for hospitals ultimately lies with the counties. And what we're trying to do is give them advice and a voice from the public to be just spewed out there for the county commissioners to see what the public really wants so that they can make that policy. We're not saying take that away from the counties, but we're saying there needs to be a mechanism to really bring that voice and have a place for it to be gathered and then heard from.
And it seems like there's a lot of interest in that new model, which is perhaps more democratic and is a response to the corporatization of healthcare.
It is. Now, in any democratic society, everybody has ideas. And I can remember, I was a legislator in Massachusetts a long time ago, and I remember some of the ideas I had for legislation. And I'm so thankful that some of them never became law. You learn things, and we all come up with ideas, and some things you'd still fight to the death for. But we will get some crazy ideas out of this, but we'll get some very good ideas, too. And what we've got to do is decide as a group, as a community, what we want. Not somebody in Tennessee who's with some management consulting operation, or somebody in Texas deciding what health care should be at a hospital in Santa Fe. It should be people in the greater Santa Fe area communicating that to their elected officials. And that's what's been critical about these committees. I have experience in government, and one of the most important things you can do to a government official is remind them of the job that they have. And these guys in Taos, they've stepped up. They really have.
The county commissioners.
Yes, and they have not always agreed where we're going. Things have evolved, but they are participating. And it's important to have those elected officials sitting at the table because they have that responsibility.
We're talking to Bruce Weatherby about healthcare, hospitals, staffing, and the legislature. So there's a couple of bills in the legislature. One of them is about state safe staffing levels, the Patient Safety Act. What else are we looking at?
We want there to be an annual reporting of safety of patient safety by healthcare providers. We want the Department of Health to do a survey and to have it online and where people can actually go and see what the staffing levels are at hospitals. We've been trying to do that for 2 years. We had a last year, Representative Trujillo passed a memorial with her House members, and they appropriated $100,000. And the Secretary of the Department of Health actually sat down with some of our nurses for one meeting. And then that was just before the governor acted on the budget, and the governor line item vetoed the money for the budget. And then the Department of Health did basically nothing. It certainly didn't communicate to those nurses who put a lot of effort into trying to get something started. We offered to give them a website to show them how to set it up. There are plenty of models. Other New Jersey does it. I think Wisconsin, a number of states do this. We're also looking we'd like to see a study done of the use of so-called traveling nurses. At Christus, all during the informational picket, when the negotiations were going on this year, they just kept adding to the number of traveling nurses at the hospital, not filling positions that became vacant, but hiring people who come here for 13 weeks, take their money and leave.
And as I understand it, that's actually more expensive.
Yes, it's more expensive. And what we do think that they're trying to start to hire people again now that there is a contract. However, as recently as a month ago, it's our understanding that there were as many, close to 25% of the nurses were traveling nurses here at Christus. That's not good. And we think that the state should keep a tab on that. For two reasons. One is the obvious health reason. You have people, if you have a workforce that's teams that are working together all the time, and you're only making adjustments through attrition when people retire or you're hiring somebody new or somebody moves, that's way different than not filling a position and bringing someone in for 13 weeks and then filling it for another 13 weeks with somebody else. That's what's been happening.
Yeah, because it's not assembly line work or something like that. It's something where getting to know people and systems, not to mention culture, as we talked about in the past, is a big part of the job.
Exactly. And the other part of this is every elected official should be concerned about this. When you have traveling nurses, God love them for when we need them and they come here. And they have a role, but they shouldn't be staffing 10, 20% of a hospital. That money leaves the community. That money is raised here for the most part, and it goes right out to some other state.
Because those people aren't buying houses here and raising kids
here. They bank their money. They actually get paid per diem while they're here. So it is more expensive. We would like that. That's an issue we think they need to look at. Another item that we are concerned about is we would like, in Massachusetts, they established at hospitals, each hospital is required to have what's called a patient family advisory council. And the hospital runs by a lot of policy by this council. Interestingly enough, it's been working out well there. They file a report every year. There are certain decisions that have to be, they have to at least take their advice and listen to what they have to say, the administration does. And this was generated out of something that was done at Mass General Hospital. They did it before there was any law. And Mass General, I think, saw that it was a good thing and helped push the concept, and we think that would be a good thing to do here in New Mexico.
It's just about time to go. I just wanted to ask you one more thing. There's a lot of talk this session about the so-called right-to-work legislation, which always has seemed to be a misnomer to me because you have a right to work whether or not you're part of the union, and probably are more protected if you are. But in any case, how would this so-called right-to-work legislation affect this particular issue of hospitals and healthcare, if it would?
Well, it's certainly going to make it more hard, make it harder and more difficult for our union, District 1199, to do what it does for not just its members, but especially for the community. Again, what happened in Taos happened because the employees stood up. It happened because the union stood up to support its employees. When the complaint was filed at Christus, it was the union that got up, and it wasn't. We didn't ask for more money. If people remember, people did get a raise in these recent negotiations, but that wasn't the issue.
No,
they
exactly.
They were prepared. They wanted to take. They were saying, "Take the money, keep it, give us more staff."
Yeah.
That's been so. This so-called right-to-work legislation will make it more difficult for unions to financially survive, because what they're really trying to do is to do away with the method of collecting money from dues. What a lot of people don't understand is that in this state, in the unions represent a bargaining unit. If the member of the bargaining unit chooses not to join the union, they don't have to, and they still get represented. If there's a discipline action, the union still represents them. If there is a layoff, this union still represents them in the process of how they're protected in the course of seniority and things like that. At the state level, in state employees, they have what's called fair share, so that if someone does not wish to be a member of the union, they get assessed a fee for what's been negotiated for them. They get the benefits of the contract and the protections, and they pay a proportionate fee for that, exclusive of the political and other activities that the union might be involved in. So what these laws are doing is they're saying, we don't think, the conservatives are saying, we don't think we should force people to join a union. Well, no one is forced to join a union. That's just a fallacy.
They basically have to pay dues, and even if they don't join the union, should push come to shove, they will be represented by the union. That's
yes.
What you're saying.
Yes, and in some instances, they don't even have to pay dues, and they still get the representation, which is unfair to those who do. But so this is a big political, it's a lot of hype, but it is an attempt to further make it difficult for unions to survive. And
right.
And unfortunately, unions for the last 30 years have not done the greatest job in advocating their need. They get out there and say it, but for some reason there's been a disconnect. But I'll tell you, here in northern New Mexico, you would not be having the hard look in what we think is a revolution in taking back control of health care if it wasn't for District 1199.
Bruce Weatherby is former president of the Northern New Mexico Central Labor Council, and he's currently consultant to the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees, District 1199, here in Northern New Mexico. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. If people want to find out more about this issue, is there anything they can do or a place they can go?
They can go to, if they Google District 1199 NM, there's a lot of information there. They're welcome to contact me if they would like. I can be reached at 505-501-1570. And we'll be happy to get you literature. And we absolutely could use people showing up at the Roundhouse. We know it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to get the legislation out of the House because the Republicans control it now, and we were barely getting through on a party-line vote last year. With the Democrats barely in control, it's a struggle that we'll continue on, and we'll supplement it by continuing to work at that local level, which is working very successfully.
Bruce Weatherby, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks a lot.